Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to this podcast. I am very excited about this series, Power for Life. The series begins with the resurrection, but then the Lord Jesus promised after he ascended into heaven that the Spirit of God would descend and that we would be born again by the Spirit. And so throughout this study, we're learning about the power of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. I trust that this series will encourage you, will help you to have a greater desire to walk not in your strength or in mine, but in the power of God through His Spirit. So let's open our Bibles and get into today's message. May God richly bless you. We're going to look at Luke 24 and beginning in verse number 1 for our scripture reading. Let's stand together, please, as we read the Word of God. Once again, we welcome our guests today. We're delighted you're here, and we're looking forward to a great time this morning in God's Word from Luke 24, and the message simply entitled, The Power for Life. Power for Life from Luke 24, and beginning in verse number 1. I'm going to read the text and pray, and we'll see a brief video, and then we'll get into the message. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you, when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful reason that brings us to this place. We thank you that death has died, and that there is power over the grave because of your resurrection. Bless the reading and preaching of your scriptures today, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Life. That's what we're going to learn about this morning from Luke 24. And it all begins with the empty tomb, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And yet the Lord doesn't want us to stop enjoying that power today. He wants it to be a part of our lives every single day as we live for Him. You know, during our Lord's earthly ministry, He taught many eternal truths. The Lord went about the Galilean countryside teaching and preaching the truth concerning Himself. In John chapter 8 and verse 58, the Bible says, Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And we think of that verse and we're mindful of the fact that Jesus was teaching His eternality, that He was the eternal Son of God. In John 1:14, the Bible says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And we're reminded there of the fact that Jesus Christ is the eternal Word, that He did not simply start His existence in Bethlehem's manger, but He is the eternal Son of God. And He said in John 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Think about that. I and my Father are one. throughout his ministry teaching concerning his preexistence, concerning his equality with the Father. And the reason we celebrate the resurrection today is because of the fact that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Not only did he teach many wonderful teachings, but he also performed many fantastic miracles. And we see those throughout the New Testament as well. In John chapter 6 and verse number 9, we read, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And verse number 43 says, "And when he had thus distributed to the disciples," then John 11:43, "And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Whether it was feeding the 5,000, whether it was seeing Lazarus raise up from the dead, Jesus showed his power on many different occasions and in many different ways. And what an awesome journey it must have been for those disciples to hear the miracles taught and to hear the miracles proclaimed and to see the miracles performed. And what a wonderful privilege it must have been for them to be with the Lord Jesus day after day in his presence observing these things. But then the day came that he had warned them about, the day that he had told them would come. And we see in the scriptures many times he tried to tell his disciples in the middle of the miracles, in the midst of the teachings, he tried to warn them of the fact that there would come a day when he would give himself as a sacrifice for sin. We know that that day came, and we celebrate not only the death but the resurrection this morning. But somehow it seems when you read the Gospels, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, were not really ready for that day. They had not really let it settle in what might happen to them. They had the Last Supper with Jesus, and then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there in the garden, Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood as he considered the fact that soon he would give his life on Calvary's tree, and soon he would bear the sins of the world in his body. The Garden of Gethsemane was a place of great sorrow. And then, of course, from there, ultimately, the Lord Jesus went to the Hill of the Skull called Golgotha. And it was there that he was crucified. And the Roman soldiers mocked him and ridiculed him while his mother and others observed the horrific pain that Jesus Christ experienced. And I suppose for those disciples who had heard the teachings concerning his eternality, and they had seen the miracles in John 6. They had observed the feeding of 5,000. They had seen even Lazarus come forth from the grave. I suppose that as they saw the Lord Jesus crucified, many of them could have wondered if this was not the end of all of the power that had been manifested. Is this really what it all was about? Just coming to that point where the ministry of Christ, the life of Christ, would end like that. And I suppose they could have wondered, what was this all about? They could have been very disillusioned in their minds. And I believe this morning is a great time for all of us to look into the scriptures and see, how can we get back in touch with the power of God ourselves? How can we, in this moment, come to a place of closer fellowship with him? Because certainly he did not design the Christian life to be a moment here and a moment there of his power and his presence, but to be a lifetime and an eternal life experience with him. I want you to see this morning why I believe the power of God is still alive and available for all of us to understand and enjoy this morning. Notice, if you would, first of all, there is power in his promises. The power that we have in the promises of God. You know, one thing that Easter reminds us of is the fact that God keeps his promises. How many of you are thankful for that? God keeps his promises for all of us. The Bible speaks of it here in Luke 24. We read a moment ago how the angel said to these disciples, these early arrivers here, he says, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And notice verse number 8, what it says there. It says, "And they remembered his words." Let's say that together. "And they remembered." Now, they had seen the miracles.
They had heard the teachings. They had even heard Jesus say he would die and raise again. But somehow that crucifixion, the shock of it, had erased from their memory some of the things that Jesus had said to them. They were literally in shock and wondering, where is this journey going to take us? And the Bible says they come back to their senses. They come back to remembering what Jesus Christ had said. Now, we don't want to be too hard on those disciples, because all of us, if we're honest, we have forgotten important things too. How many men in this room have forgotten their wife's birthday on occasion? Don't raise your hands, fellas, but just think about it, all right? We don't want to have a bad spirit early on in Easter service here. How many of you have forgotten your wife's anniversary? That's a bad thing to forget. Some people forget very important times in their lives. I heard of an absent-minded professor who became so absorbed with his work and so involved in his work that he often forgot the simplest of details. And he and his family were getting ready to move, and his wife came to him in the morning. She said, "Now, Henry," she said, "I want you to remember we're moving today, and I'm going to put a little note in your pocket to remind you that we're moving. Do not forget." And so the day passed, and Henry went to work, and he came back that afternoon into his neighborhood, and he came back into his house, opened the front door, and found the place was completely empty. He was distraught. He couldn't remember what was going on. He went and sat down on the curb outside of his house, and a little boy came and sat down next to him. He said, "Little boy, do you know the people that used to live here?" The young man said, "I sure do, Dad, and Mom told me you'd forget, too." Sometimes we just can't remember the basic things. And the Bible tells us that they had forgotten the most basic promise that Jesus had given, that he would die and that he would be raised again. Now notice, if you will, we are to remember the promise of his sacrifice. Jesus had prophesied his sacrifice many different times to them. In Matthew 20 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Jesus had prophesied. He had promised his own sacrifice. He had told his disciples that he would pay the price for their sin. I heard of a dad that brought his 5-year-old son to an Easter service, and they were so anxious for this little fella to get the meaning of Easter and to understand the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And they sat down in the pews, and the dad looked up and he saw a cross up above the platform, and he was thinking about how to explain this to his son, and he pointed at the cross. He said, "Son, you see the cross?" He said, "The people put Jesus on that cross." The little boy looked around, all around at the people. He said, "These people?" You know, the fact is that Jesus Christ died there for you and for me. All of us literally had our sins on the Lord Jesus that day. And he had prophesied that he would die on the old rugged cross. But we also remember the promise of his resurrection. He not only said he would pay the price on that cross, but that he would raise up the third day. Notice, if you will, again in verse 7 of our text, it says, "Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Now, here we see a promise that Jesus had given. And the power of God is available in the promises of the Word of God. Matthew 12 and verse 40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Many different ways Jesus had said, "I want to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried just like Jonah for 3 days and 3 nights was in the belly of the whale. I will be in the earth, but I will rise up again." You know, really, that's what we picture every time we baptize here at Lancaster Baptist Church. Every time we baptize people, we're simply showing the death and then the burial, and then the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus had prophesied. That's what Jesus did. And we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ every time someone is baptized after their salvation in water. And how we thank the Lord today that He made this promise and that He kept His promise according to His Word. You see, people have not gathered for the past 2,000 years to say, the stock market has risen, it has risen indeed. And people have not gathered to say, the dollar has risen, it has risen indeed. And people have not gathered to say, employment has risen, it has risen indeed. And people have not gathered to say, the gross domestic product has risen, or my 401k has risen, it has risen indeed. There is only one reason Christians gather for over 2,000 years on this Sunday, and it is to say, Christ is risen, He is risen indeed. Just as He said, He kept His promise, and there is power in the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. And so where's the power, someone might say? There is power in the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice secondly, if you would, this morning, there is power in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we celebrate not only the fact that He kept His promise on that first resurrection morning, but we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ provides His presence for us because He is a risen Savior. Now, notice, if you will, the presence of His Word. On this day, we celebrate His presence in the form of His Word to us. You see, after His resurrection, Jesus appeared before more than 1,500 people. The Bible says He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. In fact, for a period of 40 days, Jesus appeared time and time again so that the world would know beyond doubt that He had done what He said He would. He had risen again. And there are many different times He appeared, but let's look at one right here in our text. Let's notice in Luke 24, verse 13, the Bible says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 3,000 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And notice, if you will, what the Bible says in chapter 24 and verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Now here we see Jesus Christ coming and giving His Word and giving His promises to the Emmaus disciples, and He was letting them know that He was not only with them, but that His Word was with them. And by the way, His Word is with us this morning. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. My friends, even as Jesus came to those Emmaus disciples, even as He spoke to them on the road to Emmaus and expounded to them the Old Testament Scriptures, He has left to us His Scriptures, and He has given to us the promise of His Word. And He has said, I am leaving you with a more sure word of prophecy. Just as they had the spoken word of Jesus Christ, we have the written word of Jesus Christ. And listen, friend, there is power in the Word of God. And we have His power with us today in His Word. Thank God for the presence of His Word with us this morning. But then I thank God this morning for the presence of His Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is present with every single person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God that although the Lord Jesus has ascended up into heaven, He said to His disciples that He would send to them, and that is to each of us, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, to be with us and to abide with us. Notice what He said to the apostles in John 20, 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As My Father hath sent Me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. He gave to His apostles His Spirit to walk with them, to guide them, to empower them, and to teach them. But did you know that to every man, woman, boy, and girl who receives the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, He also gives to us His Spirit. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You know, when someone becomes a Christian by receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior, at that very moment they are born by the Holy Spirit. Salvation is the gift of God, and His Spirit indwells their life. In fact, there in 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now look at that promise there in verse 19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You see, God says, I'm going to give to you My word. And it is a more sure word of prophecy. And I am going to give to you My Spirit. And He is going to be with you in your body. He is going to be with you each and every day. For all who are born again by the Spirit, they can know the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't know about you this morning, but I'm thankful that Jesus did not leave us comfortless. I'm thankful that He did not leave us without His Spirit or without His Word. And the power is still here today because of the fact that we have His Spirit with us. Last June, I had the privilege of visiting the empty tomb. And as we were there, just outside of Jerusalem, we had the privilege of going into this place where it is believed the body of Jesus was laid. And we saw at the head of this particular tomb an area that had been carved out, a little extra space made available. A tomb obviously used by someone other than whom it had been built for originally. Joseph of Arimathea offered this place to Jesus Christ's body and to the Lord as a place for His burial. And as we went in and observed, it was a wonderful and moving experience. And we sang in that tomb, Brother Schmidt, the song we sang a moment ago, I Serve a Risen Savior. And it was a wonderful memory. As we came out of that particular moment of worship, we stepped aside and another group of folk were coming in. I believe they were from Tibet or maybe Singapore. And I'll never forget an experience I had standing back and watching this next group come in. A lady came to me and she had a troubled look on her face and she had a piece of paper in her hand. And as she walked up to me, she said, Excuse me. She said, Where can I leave a prayer for Jesus? Where can I leave a prayer for Jesus? It seemed like many places we had gone, there were prayers stuck in the rocks and stuck in the fences and different things. And I spoke to the lady very obvious words at such a place. I said, Ma'am, Jesus is not here. He is risen, as He said. And you do not need to write prayers and place them in these different places. And we took out the Bible and began to explain to this lady, and we were not sure how much she really could understand. But I could not help but think, what a tragedy that a woman who believed historically in the death, the burial, and the resurrection did not know personally that she could pray directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, did not understand the personal relationship of salvation through the risen Savior. My friend, it's one thing to believe historically that these events took place. It's another thing to personally receive Christ as our Savior. And how we thank the Lord today that He has given to us His Spirit. You know, when you think about it, the pyramids of Egypt are famous because they contain the mummified bodies of the Egyptian kings. And the Westminster Abbey in London is famous because of the bodies of the English nobles and notables that have been buried in Westminster Abbey. Mohammed's tomb is noted for the stone coffin and the bones that are contained in that coffin. And the Taj Mahal was built as a memorial to the wife of one of the Shahs of India. Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C. is revered as an honored resting place for many outstanding American heroes who gave their lives in service to this country. But the Garden Tomb of Jesus Christ is not famous because of what is inside. It is famous because it is empty. He is not here. He is risen, as they said. There is power this morning in the promises of Jesus Christ that He would die and that He would raise again. And there is power this morning in the presence of Jesus Christ through His Word and through His abiding Holy Spirit. But notice, if you would, finally this morning, there is power in the pardon of the Lord Jesus Christ. How I thank God that there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He offers that power for all of us today. Now let's see very quickly the revelation of this pardon. Notice back in Luke 24 and verse number 46, as we see the pardon of Jesus unveiled to us. It says, "And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Would you notice there again in verse 47 it says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name, in His name among all nations." Now, my friends, this morning, our pardon was paid for on an old rugged cross. And I'm so thankful today. It's not through a church. It's not through a creed that I keep. But it's all because of Calvary. And Jesus died on that cross for our pardon. Notice in your notes there, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received." Now notice this phrase, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." He died for what purpose? He died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He entered the world of darkness that I might walk in the light. And He drank the cup of woe that I might drink the cup of joy. And He was forsaken in order that I might be forgiven. And all of this was done that we may have a pardon through the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed His blood in order that I might have forgiveness. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." The revelation of our pardon is seen in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, secondly, the result of our pardon. You know, the result of our pardon, we read just a moment ago, is the forgiveness or the remittance or taking away of our sin. How many of you would agree with me that all of us need the forgiveness of sin? Every one of us. Every person here, the Bible says, falls short of the glory of God. I heard about a little girl named Nancy who was in the backyard, and she was kind of packing down a pack of dirt. She had dug a hole, and her neighbor peered over, and she said, What are you doing there, Nancy?" And Nancy said, "Well, I'm burying my goldfish. My goldfish died, and I just buried him." And the neighbor was concerned. She said, "Wow," she said, "that's an awfully big hole for a goldfish." And Nancy looked up at her neighbor and patted the dirt a little more. And she said, "That's because he's inside your stupid cat." Now, all of us at some time in our lives do something that calls for forgiveness. All of us fall short of the glory of God, and we need the forgiveness of God. And that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, to forgive us of our sin. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You see, the revelation of our pardon is seen on the cross of Calvary. The result of our pardon is the forgiveness that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see finally this morning the reception of our pardon. How do we receive the pardon of the cross of Calvary? Again, a lot of people look at this cross historically, and they believe that these events happen, but they have never received Christ personally. And I want you to see how you can receive this pardon in your own life. Notice very simply in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now let's read that verse together, okay? Ready, begin. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." God says, "You want my pardon? You want to be my son, my daughter?" Then he says, "I can give you that gift if you will simply believe on my name. Believe that I am who I said I am, and trust in me." Look at how he said it in John 11:25. He said, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" You see, Jesus made it very plain for us. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Do you have that promise in your heart, that hope in your heart, that you will live eternally? That though you were dead, yet you will live? And my friend, if you don't have that hope and confidence, Jesus died that you might have that assurance in your life. And he rose again to prove that he's the only one who can provide such hope and such confidence for all of us. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, Peter wrote, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Why do we have hope this morning? Why do we sing "Because he lives"? And why do we celebrate? Because of the empty tomb. Because of that empty tomb, there is power for life, and there is power for eternal life. And I trust this morning that all of us will leave this place knowing that we have received the pardon and that heaven is our home for all of eternity. Let's pray together, shall we?
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.